Hey, Zero.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm Mike Frasetto, your host of Inside the 610. Thanks for tuning in. And today we have a very, very special guest, a legend in the area, Phase One. Thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Everybody that knows the hip hop community in the Lehigh Valley, they know your name as one of the top producers, one of the top lyricists for a long time. And me growing up in Allentown, I've heard your name for many, many years. To be honest, you were always kind of like a mythical, yeah, like I always heard of you, but
sure.
Never saw you, never met you,
right.
Until just recently, maybe a few years ago. It was like, oh, that's him. There he is.
I tend to fall back into the shadows sometimes and reappear sporadically.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You really have been reappearing lately with a lot of the work you've been doing. I know you just came out with a new project, which we're going to be talking about, called Zero to One, which I think is an excellent, excellent project that came out in the Lehigh Valley. I can't think of one that was that artistically. I feel like it was like a climax of hip-hop in the Lehigh Valley with all the people that you had on the album, and you're always very detailed in everything that you do when it comes to the artistry of making a full project.
Sure, yeah. Man. Thanks for noticing.
So let's talk about the origins of hip-hop. How did you get into hip-hop? Who were the original influencers of your life and the people that you started hip-hop in the Lehigh Valley with?
I started pretty early writing in like 2001, probably. Yeah. Towards like the middle to the end of middle school, probably.
Wow. Okay.
Like to myself. And then picked up producing. Because originally I wanted to play basketball.
Okay.
And then I stopped growing in high school. They wouldn't let me on the team. So I was like, what am I going to do with my life? Because I was just going to go to college and like maybe try to get on a college basketball team, like a normal college. So after that, I was like, there's probably not any basketball prospects going forward. So I really like music. So I went to Full Sail for engineering.
Oh.
And I thought I would just be a producer and engineer. And then once I graduate, you know, the music industry kind of collapses. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, definitely changed around that time.
Yeah, like 2005.
Yeah, big time.
My early influences were like Tupac, Kanye, and strange enough, a local group who was from 12th Street, they used to have a crew, One Deuce. I forget who was in the group, so I have no idea. It's very early, probably like sixth grade, they did like a talent show and they performed like a rap song. And I was like, oh, like kids my age are doing this. Like, I guess I could give it a shot too. So that kind of like gave me the spark to like start writing. And
and then did you want to perform like them, or did that just give you the spark to want to write more?
Yeah, pretty much, you know, just introductory level, making music, writing songs and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
Just from a creative aspect.
Gotcha. So now fast forward, I mean, you've had how many projects in the last, 20 years, how many projects have you had?
Yeah. That's like, I can't even count. I think between myself, Devin Haley, and Slim, probably 10 plus, and that's just in the past like 7 years or so.
Wow, that's busy. And you do everything from scratch, from the producing, the beats, the recording,
the engineering.
Yeah.
For the most part, conceptually, I come up with those things too, and the artwork. So, yeah.
Yeah. So how long does a project take you from start to finish when you work with somebody?
It really depends on if it's a new artist or somebody I'm familiar with. If it's somebody new, it may take a long time because we have to find a groove. We have to find where my sound meets theirs. Building something new with somebody is tricky. So you have to kind of keep throwing things at the wall until something sticks and you go, that's your sound there. And now we need to do a bunch more of that. And then everything else gets thrown away pretty much.
Wow. See, a lot of people, especially the younger ones in hip hop that I've been, you know, mentoring and talking with in the last, 7, 8 years, sometimes they put projects together within 1 or 2 months, and I feel like that is a little rushed.
It is very rushed, especially because I think most artists now just like either download beats from the internet, write a song.
Yeah.
They do that 5 times and they have a project.
Pretty much. That seems right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do things differently. It's more old school. So, you know, everything from scratch. I like to have a concept or an artistic idea or some sort of message I'm trying to convey either sonically or narratively. That takes a while sometimes. And if you don't have an idea, you don't have a project.
That's right. It all starts with an idea. And I have to say, so I listened to this new project that you have out now on all platforms, 0 to 1. Again, I have to say, I think it's one of the best projects I've heard coming out of the Lehigh Valley. And you have, I mean, the features that you have in it are just all placed in the right spots with their sounds, just in the right points of the album. You have Sticky Money, Devin Haley, Zero, Zach Rotz, mm-hmm. Tug McGraw, Drew Breezy, who we had on this show already from Sound Off, A-Town Slim. I know you guys work always closely together. That's about the best group you could talk about right there.
Yeah, I try. I like when artists have like a crew of people they typically work with, even though they may not be a group. Mm-hmm. Just like old Dr. Dre albums. It's like Dr. Dre is the main conductor of the album, but he'll have a lot of features surrounding him, but it doesn't feel forced. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I like doing that too. And now that music has changed in rap to where songs are shorter. Back in the day, you used to have to do 3 verses every song. Mm-hmm. That was crazy. And since I'm a producer rapper, for me, that would take a lot to do. Writing 3 verses, 2-3 verses every song, and then do everything else. Like, to me, it was very tedious and a lot of work. But now that you could just do, like, 1 verse, you do, like, a hook, verse, hook, song's done. I'm like, this is, like, I can thrive in this environment here. I can swim in these waters.
Awesome. Well, I was actually listening to it this morning on the way into the WDIY headquarters, and this is the one track I was listening to. It's called DND, Do Not Disturb. Here it is.
On my own, D&D my phone. I just come to prove I'm wrong. Don't call my phone, ayy. I come through to set the tone. Don't text my phone no more. Now they wanna click up. I won't pick up. I could do this on my own, D&D my phone. I come through and prove I'm wrong. Don't call my phone, ayy. I come through to set the tone. Don't text my phone no more. Now they wanna click up. Ayy, I won't pick up. Look up in my eyes. It's my world, it's just a phase. I've been up for like 7 days. I came a long way from the chain. Now my value been appraised. Got a box of Rebel Yeager, Bombay lemonade. I survived by heaven's grace. The dash is digital. The roof not visible. They looking miserable. You entertainment. Imitations look identical. It's pitiful. Lots of nonsense gossip like the Dewey Institute. Competition slim to you. I've been approved. No limit to cap and they rap. Tell me who the f*** they listen to. It never lasts. My past is too much cynic. Got me cynical. If you gon' ride, then you gon' ride. This where liars are go to die. I'm alive. Big to live and prove that I can do this on my own.
Every time I hear you rap, it just got me in the mood this morning listening to it. It's like a whole vibe, the entire album, especially that track. And then lyrically, man, just one word comes to my mind. It's slick. You're just slick with the lyrics, and I hear your character, and it makes me laugh, man, sometimes. Your lyrics are great.
You got to be over the top, bravado.
Yeah, you really do good. So how has this project been going for you, the distribution afterwards, what other people, the feedback that they've given to you? How do you feel about it yourself?
I really appreciate all of the critiques that I've gotten. I've even spoke with a profound hater of mine about his critiques.
Always good to have conversations with those people.
Yeah, yeah. It's a friendly one. And even his critiques were lacking in any real message or hatred behind it. It was like he was really trying and couldn't really find much. So I like that. But most of the reception has been great, and I love that people have been enjoying it, really, because that was the purpose of me doing it. I could have reached back to some of my more prominent hip-hop collaborators that, you know, are in it or have been in the industry, but I really wanted the album to be like a local sound and keep it that way, and I hoped people would enjoy it, and they seem to be, so yeah. I'm very thankful.
Yeah, you have a lot of the, you know, the stuff that you mentioned throughout the album too is like all Lehigh Valley, Allentown based.
Sure. Yeah. I wanted to bring people into the world, and there is a lot of double meanings and sub content throughout it. I prioritize sonics over narrative, really. So when I was sequencing the album, I kind of wanted to tell my story in a way that's not linear. So it kind of jumps around.
Yeah, but it all comes together really good by then.
It hits certain points where if you know my story, you'll pick up on certain things. And I wanted to tell it and have it be told in a way that doesn't get tiresome. Because, you know, if you're reading like a dense book or somebody's telling you their life story from start to finish, how many times can you really run that back and enjoy it? But if you put little, they like to say Easter eggs now, throughout, people like to go back and listen to things and hear something new and go, oh, maybe I have to return to some other things now.
Gotcha. Like run it back like 4 or 5 times and hear something different every time.
Sure.
Yeah. I could see that happening with this album. So in the Lehigh Valley, what's next with hip hop? What do you think's needed? Because the talent I feel is here. What do you think's needed in the Lehigh Valley to take hip hop to the next level?
I've always thought we did have a lot of talent.
Yeah.
They just needed to be A&R'd or groomed in some sort of way and have their talents fostered to create their sound. That's what I always try to do with myself and the artists that I work with. But I just don't think that there's enough of those people to take the younger artists under their wing and really point them in a right direction and also keep them out of trouble because you already know a lot of the talent around our areas, you know, they go back and forth to jail and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you have to keep them appeased with the work they're doing and also in their life so they don't get distracted. So that's tough.
Some good mentorship.
Right. Yeah. So you really have to find a artistically driven artist, number one, who is willing to be patient, because especially now, you don't just go out there and look for a record deal. You pretty much have to do everything yourself.
I don't know.
I don't know what's next for the area. I hope somebody maybe, I like Ant Wave.
Yeah. While you were saying all this stuff, I was thinking about him too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's great. He's a...
I think I met him one time, but I think he really came up under like LG Is. I think they used to write together or something.
Yep. Right.
But he kind of took a back seat for a while LG was having his moments, and now he has came back onto the scene.
It's a nice thing to see.
For sure, because I really like how he writes and his melodies and everything like that. But what I think he's lacking is like, I think, a producer. So... You know, Ant Wave, if you'd like to work, I would do something for you, sure.
That's an awesome shout out. So, hey, if anybody of the all of the listeners wanted to find you on social media, how could they find your work, your art? How could they get in contact with you?
Sure. Search Phase One, PHAZEWUN, at It's Just a Phase, Instagram, Twitter. Pretty much the same thing all the way around.
Spotify. Awesome. Well, Phase One, thank you so much for blessing this studio today, and good luck with everything you do in the future.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Tune up your week with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY. Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11 offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
Welcome back to Inside the 610. I'm your host again, Mike Frisetto, and now we have in the studio one of my favorite artists in the Lehigh Valley, Eric the Host. How are you?
Woo! What's up, everybody? I'm good. I'm good, man. Thank you. I appreciate coming up here. The offer to come up here and everything.
Yeah, of course. And you've been on the list. We wanted to get you in the studio for a long time. You know, when you talk about artistry, you're an artist in this area. Just a lot of people just think are super talented. You have your own style. And that's what I think is needed. There's so many people that have like the same type of sound in the Lehigh Valley. And you have this uniqueness about yourself. And I think a lot of people appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I try.
No, you keep doing what you're doing. I just saw you I know you just released kind of like a freestyle with, I think it was shot at Cedar Beach. It might have been
Fountain Park. Are you talking about the Cypher?
Oh, the Cypher. Was that Fountain Park?
Yeah, that was Fountain. It was with Cruise Control.
Yes, exactly. Yes. You had like five other artists in this area.
Yeah,
you
a couple of local artists.
Yeah. Johnny Bills was there, Macville,
Tim Foster, Black Dre.
Yep.
It was actually a pretty diverse group. And the funny thing was, it was supposed to be two separate cyphers. Then we had a couple artists drop out, and the two cyphers became one. And that's how that happened. So I show up to the studio for recording day, and all these guys are in there, but none of these guys I was in the group chat with, except like two of them. So I'm like, what are you guys doing here? Oh, we're here to record a cypher. I'm like, oh, me too. We're like, you guys weren't in that same group chat. But the way it came together was beautifully. All the artists are like supremely talented.
Oh, yeah.
I was sitting in the studio. You know, I'm looking at Johnny Bills. I don't know. That was the first time I've ever met him. Oh, Macville, I'm pretty cool with. Yeah. Black Dre as well. Yeah. But like Murdoch, I didn't really know Murdoch or Kill. I'm sitting in there, but I've heard their music and I know what they're about as artists. And I'm sitting there. And I text my wife. I'm like, hey, I'm in here with some heavy hitters,
man.
Oh, yeah. And for me, I just got back into music. So it was kind of like, wow, look, like, I belong here. Like, you know, it was kind of one of those moments. But, like, I've always felt supreme, like, in my talent. But I know that to get to certain statures, you got to be consistent. You got to drop the music regularly. That's something I haven't always done. But yet I'm in here with people that are doing that and are known for their craft. So it was a very awakening moment for me. It was cool to be a part of it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome how you just described that right there. I remember when you made those posts on social media, it seemed like you shot the recording at a Meets Beats studio,
yeah,
MB Pro.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he's great. Obviously a legend. Just before you, we had Phase One in here who was a legend. And then on that cypher, you had a bunch of legends there too. And man, I have to say, you definitely deserve to be in that group.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. When you came out with those pictures on social media, I was like, oh, you're right. I use the same words. Whoa, those are all heavy hitters. That must be a really good time there in that studio. Yeah, then the cypher came out and it was great.
Big shout out to Cruise Control for setting it all up.
You
know, even though he's down in Tennessee, he's still trying to do things for the hometown and coordinate some things. So. Big shout out to him.
Yeah, Alex Cruz.
He's
I knew him for a long time, ever since he was in high school. Yeah, he's doing his thing. I'm glad he moved down to Tennessee and he's really doing his thing down there.
Yeah, he's made a name for himself.
Oh yeah, definitely down in Tennessee. And he always, every year, he still has many projects up here too.
Yeah.
How would you describe him, like, as a organizer,
He's all those things, an organizer, content creator. He's a visionary. Yeah. You know, he went down there. He's the new guy on the block. And a lot of people, you go somewhere new and nobody knows you. You know, you got to start from the ground up.
That's tough.
But it seems like he hit the ground running, you know, especially when he was out here for so many years and he wasn't getting that same type of participation that he gets down there up here.
Yeah.
So, but he moves away and now he can garner that support and participation from other people because they notice, you know, how he stamped down there. So big shout out to him.
Yeah, definitely. I love working with him. I love when he comes back up here too. Talking about shows, I mean, you also have a very popular podcast that is going on in the Lehigh Valley called Dope Individuals Only.
Yes.
It's been more than 1 year now that you've been doing it pretty consistently.
Just, I believe it was last week was 2 years.
2 years last week. Wow.
And it's crazy because I didn't even really, like, I didn't make a post for it. I didn't do any of that stuff for it. Part of me wanted to, but then part of me, like, also doesn't want to get caught up in the hype of it where it's just like, the work isn't done. There's still a lot of things to do. There's still fine-tuning for the show. So it's kind of like just keeping my foot on the gas. But yeah, it's been 2 years as of like last week.
Okay, well, congratulations
on
that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And it seems like it's growing and growing and getting stronger every month.
Yeah. The impact is truly felt. When I'm out there in the streets and people will be like, you know, hey, I want to get on your show at some point, or I love that episode with such and such. It's just reaffirming that, like, I truly am walking in my purpose. A long time, it didn't always feel that way, but this, like, I can feel the impact of it and see how people gravitate to it and want to be a part of it. So that definitely makes me feel good knowing that I created something that people want to be a part of.
Yeah, I think you're definitely like a builder. I've been watching and observing you for probably about 5 years now, since we first met. You know, it seems like everything that you do, there's a positive impact on it. I know you're even an entrepreneur. I meant you're a father. Father of three. Yeah, every time I
say we're done, though.
That's enough, huh?
Yeah.
You know, and you're an entrepreneur. You're a family man. You're an artist. You do music, a podcast. I mean, you're a busy man.
Yeah. Multifaceted.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, more like a brother at this point, but his name is Kareem. I had him on very early on in my podcast when I first began it. He said this one thing. He was like, you know, just put your hands in anything. I asked him, what was the best advice you got for people? And he was like, just try everything. Just put your hands in everything. And even though I dabbled and dabbled in a lot of different things, like hearing somebody else reaffirm something that I know to be true, it was kind of like another battery in my back where it's just like, I got to keep trying to evolve, keep trying to do as many things as possible just to see, you know, how I can impact other people and what it can do for me. You know, you just never know until you try, so.
That's right. Yeah. Talking about trying new things, I saw that you jumped out of an airplane.
Yeah, for my 13th anniversary with my wife. Big shout out to my wife. I love you, baby. But yeah, we did that for our 13th anniversary. That was absolutely nuts.
yeah, that is nuts. So how was that experience?
It's scary. It's definitely scary.
Where was it at, and how high were you when you jumped out?
They take you up to about 10,000 feet, 11,000 feet, somewhere in that ballpark. And then they open up that door and you got to go. They tell you, like, hey, the only way you're coming down is to jump out. There is no, we're bringing you back down. We'll circle up here for 30 minutes if we have to, but you're going to jump out of this plane. So it was kind of like a deal I had to make with myself well before I even arrived at the place to get ready. But yeah, it was an awesome experience. I definitely would do it again too. Okay. But I'm pretty sure I'm going to be just as scared the next time as I was the first time.
I bet. Wow. I just couldn't imagine. You know, everybody says that, you know, throughout your life, right? Would you jump out of a plane? Would you jump out of a plane? My answer was always, I really don't want to. Yeah.
And that feeling doesn't fade. And even when you're standing there and they open up the door and that wind is coming in and you can feel the cold air, and you're looking down and you just see all these little patches of green. It doesn't change. Like, it's your animalistic fight or flight kicks in and you're just like, am I really gonna do this? And then it's kind of like, let's do it.
it was
an awesome feeling once you kind of just let go and you find yourself falling out of that plane and you open up your eyes and you can feel it all and you can see it all. It's like, wow, I've really just jumped out of a perfectly good airplane. But holy smokes, I jumped out of an airplane, you know, and then that excitement kicks in because it's just like, it feels like an accomplishment. At least it did for me. It felt like an accomplishment where it was like, now I get on rides at Dorney Park and I'm just like, oh, this is high. Well, it's not really that high anymore. You know, it kind of puts everything in perspective. Like, what else? Why should I be afraid of this? You know, that's kind of how I've been approaching things ever since that day. And it's only been a couple months, but I've had that thought where it's like, I jumped out of a plane, bro. This is no big thing. Yeah. I jumped out of a plane.
Must give you a different perspective and motivation on your daily life.
Yeah, for sure. Wow. It definitely does. Wow. I recommend it. So if you're thinking about it, go do it.
There you go. Yeah. I know there's a lot of listeners out there now that have been thinking about it. Talking about, you know, new things, you also are getting into performing again, because I know you did music and kind of took a little hiatus, maybe like a rebranding or just a resetting of the mind, and now you're getting back into performances lately. What venues have you been performing at, and where are your next performances going to be at?
So I had a couple performances at Art House on Hamilton, which is pretty cool. Well, I did, I believe, three at Infusions, located in Bethlehem. Really dope spot.
It is.
If you've never been there, check it out if you're in the local area. I did one on Hamilton It's right in between 11th and 12th of Hamilton. There's a new like entrepreneurial spot.
Inkwell.
Inkwell. Yes. Really dope spot. Pat Simpson set it up, as well as Jacinth from Inner Stars. They kind of organized the entire thing.
Yeah, Kyle Edwards is the owner of it.
Really dope spot. Really dope venue. They brought everybody pizza. There was drinks. Live performances were great.
Great spot.
Great spot. And then my next show I got coming up, which is mid-November, around November 14th or 16th, something like that, is at Emmaus Theater, which is going to be the biggest one so far. So I'm really excited for that one. I got a 15-minute set for that day. I'm going to bring out some guest performers as well, some local artists that I've been working with.
Yeah, it's always nice to collaborate and bring on people you've been working with onto the stage with.
Share the stage with my brothers at the end of the day. It's a lot of dope things going on. A lot more performances than I have ever done, just in this year, than maybe the prior 10. So it's really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you have new singles coming out. You have Dope Individuals Only podcast, Jumping Out of Planes. But all of that combined, you mentioned something before we got into the studio about, in order to do all this stuff and just be in the right mindset and motivated correctly in your life, you have to believe in yourself. And you got to believe in your craft.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to people, especially on those terms? How would you describe that?
We all have influences. So for a long time, I would try to be a lot like my influences. And they varied from time to time over the years. But what I realized is, like, there's only one Eric. And there's only one you and every other individual out here. So there's no point of trying to be like someone else or trying to sound like someone else when you have something unique to offer. And for a long time, I didn't think like that what I had to offer was something that people would gravitate to. But the more that I put myself out there and the more that I get out of my own way by just telling that negative little voice in my head, like, be quiet, like, let's see how this is going to play. I got to give it the opportunity first. The more I've been given the opportunity to show that what I have to offer is good enough and people want to be a part of the things that I care about and I'm trying to build. So, yeah, just having the confidence within oneself essentially is what I want to get at, because for a long time I lacked the confidence to go out there. I would create music all the time, but I wouldn't get on stages so people can hear it. You know, if you didn't hear it on Facebook, you didn't know that I did these things. Now it's kind of like just getting out of my own shell, getting out of my own way and giving myself the true opportunity. Because for a long time, I used to be like, why isn't people listening? Why don't people care what I'm creating? Like, this is good stuff. This sounds different. It's what I'm talking about is different. But people wouldn't gravitate to it. And it's because I didn't really tell anybody that I was really doing these things. I thought I was, but I wasn't. Mm. And it's because I lacked the confidence. I didn't want anybody to say, hey, I don't really like what you're doing. But at the same time, for every person that doesn't like it, there's going to be somebody that it is for. There's a lane for everybody. And yeah, it took for me to start having the confidence to say, it doesn't matter who doesn't like it. This is for the people who do. And this is for me, ultimately. I do this because I love it, first and foremost. So just finding the love in what I did and what I do, and then giving people the opportunity to be a part of that. You know,
that's such a good mindset to live by.
It's hard, but it's definitely the one that I think helps people flourish.
Yeah. So if people wanted to find you, listen to your art, where could they find you on social media and get in contact with you?
I run mainly everything through Instagram. For the podcast, you can follow the podcast at Dope Individuals Pod, spelled exactly how it's spelled in the dictionary, Dope Individuals Pod, P-O-D. If you want to follow me for the music, in which I recommend that you follow me on all of it, because there's some really dope things going on in all these facets of creative areas, you can follow me on Instagram, Eric_the_Host_. And it's E-R-I-K, the host underscore. You can follow me on YouTube for both the podcast and the music, Eric the Host, Dope Individuals Only podcast. Yeah, I run everything through there. I'm active. So if you want to be a part of the show, or you know somebody who has a great story or expertise that you think could impact a lot of lives in a positive way, hit me up on there. It's just a matter of me just keep going out there and just putting the best foot forward every day.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Eric, the host, it has been a true pleasure having you in the studio tonight.
Likewise. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for listening to Inside the 610 tonight here on WDIY 88.1 FM. We had Phase One in the studio and Eric, the host. And we're going to leave you with Here and Now by Eric, the host. Enjoy.
can hear it loud. Everybody knows me, really that's the old me. Going through some changes right here and now. I've been on my grind just to live it out. Say what's on your mind just to hear it loud. Everybody knows me, really that's the old me. Going through some changes right here and now. I've been on my grind just to live it out. Say what's on your mind just to hear it loud. Everybody knows me, really that's the old me. Going through some changes right here and now. Drove in a road that normal people don't take. Full of surprises, there may be no escape. I'm not afraid of the challenges. Just check all the calluses, that's from pulling and grappling. Gotta eat up and scavenging. I can never starve, I'm nothing like you. There's way too much money to be made for me despite you. I hope all of my brothers doing good and make the right moves. You chasing dreams, I'm trying to close the distance like a fight move. The media despise you, I learned that. People fuck with you based on convenience. When you no longer accommodate to their wishes and feelings, everything changes quickly. People stop being mixy. Relationships go from being copacetic down to iffy. The reason for my demeanor change, I ain't build the relationships for them to be this way. But instead of me overthinking and trying to fit pieces that never fit, I just took that situation for what it is.